Welcome to the author show of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Richelle Connolly from University College Cork. She recently published an article entitled Crafting Resilience, Reframing Firm Growth for Artisan Food Entrepreneurs at Farmers Market. She co-authored this article with Lana Ripper and Joe Bogg. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Richelle, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Vincent. Lovely to be here.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper? Why did you decide to address this particular topic? And what is the key question you aim to answer?
Yes, thank you. Interestingly, actually, the origin of this paper came out of my own lived experience of setting up my own food business over 15 years. And during this time, I grew the business from being at farmers markets to developing a couple of food outlets and all the time navigating business decisions to develop operations, to supply supermarkets and really grow the business. And this is very much encouraged by the support infrastructure. And I eventually sold the business. But I was left really with this burning question of what firm growth can really mean beyond solely economic or quantitative output, such as increasing employees, turnover, and production. So for me, when I look back on my business journey, producing the food myself and selling it face to face with customers at the markets was the most enjoyable and also the most lucrative time because we didn't have the overheads of rent, etc., and staff wages. So then this question led to my PhD research, where I examined firm growth from the perspective of artisan food entrepreneurs who were actually operating at these farmers markets. And this paper developed from this, from my PhD research. So the key question that I and my co-authors really aimed to answer was, how do these artisan food entrepreneurs experience, narrate, and enact firm growth through their everyday craft practices within this field of farmers markets? So, of course, although the origins of the paper came from my lived experience, it is also firmly embedded within academic debates on firm growth, particularly within the area of everyday entrepreneurship and also the artisan and craft-based research. So in this paper, we're really building on these research areas and we conceptualize firm growth as a reflexive, value-led, situated practice that is shaped by the entrepreneur's dispositions at the firm level, but it's also shaped by the broader logics of practice that structure the fields in which they operate.
Can you identify the one, maybe two key contributions of your paper that you believe will have the most impact on the field?
Yeah, I suppose we see in this paper two main contributions. The first is in small firm growth scholarship, where we contribute to the shift in attention from the outcome of growth to instead looking at the processes of growth. And so in particular, within this literature, we address what we see as a research gap, where we see that while there is a movement towards understanding growth as this value-led and relational process, it is also still treated as a binary concept. So it's like you're either growing your business or you're not growing the business. And this means then that growth is implicitly framed in economic terms. So for example, when you look at the artisan entrepreneurship literature, growth then becomes like a paradox or a dilemma or as a consequence of buoyant markets. Within the emerging area of everyday entrepreneurship growth, everyday entrepreneurship research, growth then becomes something to be resisted in order to preserve scale, values, and embeddedness. And so here we really argue in this paper that for everyday entrepreneurship to become resilient, we need to move beyond firm growth as solely tied up in economic capital. And then we also feel we make a second contribution, and that is through the empirical setting of the paper, because we're looking at farmers markets, which still really remain underexplored as entrepreneurial fields in contrast to more higher value craft niches. So like take, for example, craft brewing. However, we feel that farmers markets provide a valuable empirical setting to examine the literal bread and butter of craft. And so here is where face-to-face exchange happens. There's food cultures are preserved and community can be fostered. And of course, they're also seen as gentrifying neighborhoods, and they can drift between this everydayness of food provisioning and the premiumization of artisanal craft. So it is within this setting that we found that artisan entrepreneurs in our research were reflexively focused on the value of what we termed their embodied cultural capital. And this is really their tacit knowledge of their production processes, which manifested in three alternative growth concepts, that they were growing community, resilience, and also growing their own autonomy. So we argue in this paper that this embodied cultural capital is of particular importance to artisan entrepreneurship and to how these firms are growing, and it hasn't fully been examined in previous research. So in this way, we feel we contribute to the growing body of research that is reframing growth as a value-led and relational process, and we really hope that we have provided a framework and a provocation that would inform future research to examine growth in more diverse, resource-constrained local economies in a way that will inform a more nuanced understanding of what actually is being grown. And so to do this, we take a multi-level approach to examine entrepreneurs and how they navigate and make sense of how their firms grow within field-level dynamics of these place-based markets that are also embedded within this greater food industry.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
Oh, there were many challenges. I suppose the very, like, our aim was to be non-reductive, and that is going to be a challenge, right? And also we're taking this multi-level approach. So there was like a mess of research to kind of try and get a handle upon. And to do this, we applied Bourdieu's theory of practice as a theoretical framing for the data. And I guess the Bourdieu has been used greatly in extant research and has been shown to capture the complex, multidimensional nature of entrepreneurship. We found also, though, that it has been less applied to understanding firm growth and what it is that firms are growing. So, but what we really wanted to do with this research was to capture the data at both the field and the firm levels in order to understand the interplay between individual practices, or what Bourdieu would term habitus, and the broader market structures, which would be a Bourdieusian term of looking at it as the field, and also how this interplay is mediated by resources or these various forms of capital from social, cultural, symbolic, as well as economic, of course. So theoretically, it was a challenge to draw these multi-level concepts together. And then methodologically, we also applied a mixed methods approach where we used a nested multiple case study design. And that was a challenge. The challenge was that these businesses operate at the margins, right? So our data is from the region of Munster in Southwest Ireland. And in Ireland in the late 1990s, a group of artisan cheese producers and food activists pulled together in order to re-establish farmers markets and to reinstate an old trading act. It was the Casual Trading Act that recognized the historical public trading rights in market towns. So these markets are very much informal. They're loosely structured, and there are about 194 of them in the Republic of Ireland. But of course, there's no exact database that exists, and there's certainly no clear database of the businesses that are operating at these markets. So that meant we had to build a database of farmers markets. And I went out and visited 25 of them in the region, and there I screened the traders there. So we ended up with 88 survey participants. And then through a cluster analysis of the survey data, we found 8 case studies that were selected for difference. And then in addition to all of this, we conducted documentary analysis, looking at food policy and interviews with 10 key informants who were experts in the area of artisan food production, enterprise sport, and farmers markets. So really analyzing this data from all these different levels was a challenge. So here we found using reflexive thematic analysis and also adapting a relational epistemology and a depth ontology very useful. We used both inductive processes and then a final stage of deductive reasoning where we brought in Bourdieu's concepts of field, habitus, and capitals. And then at the case level, we analyzed within the cases. And here I found using a thematic map really helpful in order to identify patterns of what is actually being developed by these firms in a more qualitative way. And then based on this, broader themes were identified across the cases. So all of this took time, and it was really about sitting with the data to understand what is actually emerging from it. So that was all the challenge.
Let's talk about the research process itself. Can you share something about the journey, perhaps a turning point during data collection, a difficult decision you had to make about the research design, or even a moment of doubt, any surprise or counterintuitive result, something that made you rethink your initial assumptions?
Honestly speaking, the journey of developing this paper has been a huge learning curve, because the difference between the initial paper that we submitted to ERD and this final paper is quite huge. And that is a great thanks to the feedback from our reviewers and the editor. Initially, we focused in on the case studies, and it was through this iterative process and feedback that we really understood that we need to contextualize and examine this data at the different levels that we had, you know, gathered already. So our original theory was too circular, and it didn't capture this nuance of firm growth within this context. But the reviewers and editor could see that the question being researched was an important one, and that we really needed to attend to what is being grown from the perspective of these entrepreneurs that are in different contexts, that we cannot fully understand growth from within neoliberal or binary framings. So it was the first review cycle of going back to the data that we found this golden thread of embodied cultural capital that was woven in across the levels. It really linked the firm level craft practice with the field level legitimacy. So as Bourdieu describes, this type of capital is fundamental to the body of its bearer. It really lives and it dies with them. So by attending to how growth is narrated and enacted, we were able to be more open and inclusive. And we found this capital was not only an individual entrepreneurial resource shaping how growth was understood for these individuals, but it was also a collective asset that is reinforced, extended, and transacted at the field level within this specific context of farmers markets. So as we went deeper into the data, we found these three interrelated mechanisms that were underpinned by this embodied cultural capital. There was a collective development of symbolic boundaries around farmers markets that were created through these stories and narratives that were told by the producers and the traders. They became a counterfield or a refuge from the industrial food system. The second mechanism was around the craft habitus of the entrepreneurs, which embedded them within these markets and created this sort of disjuncture with other paths to markets, like going down the route of supermarkets. And we found that this bounded space also created a market logic for their embodied capital that would not exist elsewhere. This meant that they could grow their business in a different way from within farmers markets. So it was really revisiting the data through the reviewers and editors' feedback that really we found this underpinning foundation as to why this was happening, why these entrepreneurs remained engaged in their everyday craft at farmers markets. It was this connection with embodied cultural capital and the practical implication of this reframing of growth to contextualized understandings of what is being grown to be recognized, cultivated, and supported. So, for example, in the context of this research, we suggest placing artisan food entrepreneurs as custodians of food heritage, local ecosystems and communities. And in this way, we legitimize their business models.
If you could go back to the beginning of this project, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently and what advice would you give to other scholars embarking on similar research?
Well, I don't know. Could we have started with the concept of embodied cultural capital and gone from there in a straight line? It would have been simply lovely, but I don't think that was possible. Truly, I would not do anything differently. I am really proud of this paper and working with my colleagues. Collecting data at multiple levels is definitely messy, but I really do feel in these complex times that we live, in times of polycrisis, that we need to sit with this complexity and to take our time with the data, just to see what is really emerging. And sure, within the structures of academia, that is difficult, but I do think there is a case for slow research. We were lucky to find a good home for our paper with ERD and with the reviewers and an editor that really believed in it and gave constructive feedback. There's also some great research being done in this kind of subfield of everyday entrepreneurship and this call to reorientate entrepreneurship from solely high growth business. So to be able to build on that and hopefully contribute to it in some way is a real privilege.
Thanks a lot, Rachel, for participating to our show and pulling back the curtain on your research process on your article entitled Crafting Resilience, Reframing Firm Growth for Artisan Food Entrepreneurs at Farmers Markets. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-erd.com and on the main podcast platforms.
Thank you, Vincent. Pleasure.